good day. Welcome to Get Better Now, Living Mastery with Sifu Marcus Lovemore. This program incorporates old world ancient wisdom with today's tools. Now here's your host, Sifu Marcus Lovemore.
Today on GBN, the first installments of Ask Sifu Marcus. That's right, I'll be answering your emails. So, ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourself. I'm Sifu Marcus Lovemore, and you're about to get better now. Get Better Now, Living Mastery, the show that is dedicated to your growth. My only priority here is to get you better now. Regardless of where you are, I want you better. And I'm going to do everything I can to get you there. Who am I? I'm Sifu Marcus Lovemore, founder and head optimum performance expert at Mastery Training Systems. It's my school where we instruct people in down-to-earth and practical ways to master their life. So, on today's show, it's the first installment of Ask Sifu Marcus. That's right, you guys get to ask me whatever you want. So, basically today, what I'm going to be doing is reading some emails and answering those questions as concisely as you know that only I can. So, here we go. I'm going to be reading the first email today, and let me just check through it right now. Ah, yes. Here's one. It's from one of my clients. Tennyson, you know who you are. He asks actually two questions, but they're actually tied together, and it's really good, and I'm really glad he asked these things. So, the first question, email. Commitment versus living in the moment, he writes. Codependency versus disconnection. How does one follow through and yet allow every decision to be independent of those that came before? How does this connect to purpose and forgiveness? And the other question, which actually almost kind of helps me answer this question, is why versus how? So that's what we're going to start with. We're going to start with the first one and then move into the second one. Commitment to the moment versus commitment in general. So, I'm assuming what he's asking is that how does one do the Buddha thing, stay in the moment, understand the flowers, really get into that place where you're really feeling what's going on right here, right now, so you don't miss anything, but yet plan for the future because you want your life to be a certain way, you want your house to be a certain way, your emotional state to be a certain way. You would like to plan your day. You know what I mean? I mean, it's going to be very hard to live your life without some sort of future understanding. Some sort of, let's say, address book. Knowing, you know what? I want to go to the movies with somebody later tonight. How do you stay in the moment and actually think about that future concept? How do you plan your life? How do you design the life that you want and attain those goals without taking you out of that moment, that present place? Well, you know, I'm a big proponent of the both concept, as if you've listened to the show at all, that I'm really into the concept of do both. You can have both. But to really work this, it actually works into the second email he sent me, is why versus how, okay? And this is actually where we're all thinking, because I'll get into the commitment versus living in the moment in just one second. But the why versus how argument of how to do this actually answers the first question. Why versus how? Why do I not like to think about the why? Let's say, how does this work? That a lot of times people come to me and they say, you know, I'm having a problem, any kind of problem, whether it's I want to lose weight and I can't, or my knee hurts and I don't know why, or I'm having a problem with a family member, or my relationship is not working as well as it could, or my job, success, it's not happening to the level that I want it to be. Well, the first thing that they come to me, they go, why? Why? Why is this happening to me? Why can't I change? Why is my life not the life that I imagine it could be? And the first thing I tell them is, well, you know, that why thing is great to think about. You know, it's very amusing. But if you actually want to change it, you're going to have to think about the how. The how. And even sometimes the what. In fact, I sometimes like going to the what even first, because it's easier transition from why to what. So why am I doing that? See, of course, you want to know that. Well, when you start thinking about the why, it prevents you from dealing with what is. What does that really mean? It means that when you are in that why zone, why this, why that, why is only in the world of tomorrow and yesterday. Why did I do that? Right? Why did I do that? And planning for the future so that you don't do it again. But what why really doesn't deal with is this moment. What's going on right now? In fact, I believe it's your ego's way of distracting you from who you are as more of a protective thing. Most of the time when people are asking why, in my experience, is that they're actually guarding themselves from what actually the pain and the dysfunction that's going on right now. So what they do is they murk themselves down in the why of their past and the excitement of their future, but disillude themselves of the reality of their present. And the why is very, very sneaky at doing that, because you go, why? Well, my mother did this, and my dad did this, and when I did this, I did that. But there's a saying in psychoanalysis is that understanding is not integration. And this is what I'm talking about, the how, that if instead of asking the why question, you ask the how question, instead of saying, well, this person was mean to me, that's why I did this, you start converting that into, yeah, they were mean to me, but how can I change? When you start asking the how question, it instantly starts pulling you back to the present. What is going on now? How can you change now? How can you move forward now? Because realistically, even if you are planning to the future, if you plan your hows now, it automatically plans your future. If you change in the moment, there's nothing but your future of change. If you ask the why question more often than not, zero change happens. Have you noticed this? You ask the why, you figure it out, you know why, but yet you do the same thing over and over again. You ask the why, and you do the same thing over and over again. This is why I have never really seen the why question as an answer. The answer to why usually just gives you more questions. Do you get that? Why can't I stop eating burritos with lots of gook in it and French fries and fried foods? Why can't I? Well, because I need them, or because I can't get enough of them and they taste so good. And whatever your excuse for eating those things, I mean, that's great and everything. But does that actually help you change your behavior? Instead of asking you, why am I eating the French fries? Why am I doing that behavior that I know is not helping me get to where I want to go? Ask yourself, how? How right now, in this moment, I'm eating the French fry. How can I not eat the French fry? How can I do that right now? Is there a way for me to change my opinion of the French fry? Or maybe just stop eating the French fry. But there is a way that is intrinsically connected to you that if you ask how, will let you do that. And see what it does? It brings you to that moment. That one French fry, that one moment that you're eating that one French fry is the only how that you need to deal with. Because then you do it again, and then you do it again. You repeat that how, and that becomes an intrinsic part of you. Instead of asking the why, which pulls you into what you just did instead of what you are doing. And then because you're not changing what you are doing, you can't prevent you from doing it in the future. So this why question is actually counterproductive to change in what I've seen. So I hit upon the what. Instead of maybe why, like a transition, because some people have a hard time with the how, because they get very confused. So what about the what? Instead of saying, why am I doing this? Ask yourself, what is this? What am I doing? Because guess what? Once again, pulls you into that moment, pulls you into that ability to go, where am I at right now? It starts enabling you to sense this moment that you're in. So you stop denying what you're doing, and that lack of denial gives you the ability to change instantaneously. So what? What are you doing? You're eating that French fry. You're having that bad conversation. You're doing that thing that you know you don't want to do that doesn't get you to where you want to go, but yet you're doing it anyway. What is that? What is eating a French fry? Is it just chewing and swallowing? When you become aware of the truth of things, you gain choice. When you deny the thing that is happening, there is no way for you to respond, to relate, and then choice is ripped from you. Why? It's because then it becomes a reaction. It becomes a triggered response. You become some sort of automaton reacting to your life instead of guiding your life. The what and the how enable you to, one, sense your reality right here, right now, and then guide it. So those are the two questions that you really need to ask. So then, do you understand how this starts moving back to Tennyson's first question, commitment versus living in the moment? How do you commit, right? To, let's say, I want to be a stockbroker, or I want to be an actor or an artist, or I would like to be a fireman. How do you commit to something in the future, build a path to that, and still not pull you out of this moment? Well, once again, you ask the what and how. Stop asking the why, because that's what everybody else is going to ask you. Why do you want to be a fireman, little Bobby? Well, you're going to talk to you all your dreams and stuff, but that those dreams, those things, really don't help you become a fireman. What helps you become the fireman is how you're moving towards being that in this moment, little Bobby, or little Tennyson, right? So, the question, how to be a fireman, how to even just wash the dishes later tonight, because the dishes are building up, right? How do you do that? How do you plan for that? Well, you want to look at this moment, because if you ask the what first, what are, it's the dishes, so you truly understand what the dishes are, right? And then you think about how you could do the dishes. How can you? What happens is a plan will develop in that moment, right? In that moment. excuse me. And once that plan develops, you hold to that plan, and then you'll figure out whether you should do that, the dishes now, or you'll figure out that, you know what, I'll do the dishes later. That's how I'm going to do them. I'm going to take out the laundry. I'm going to do all of these things in this order, and then I'm going to do the dishes. That's how I'm going to do the dishes. And then if you really get into it, you can even think of which dishes you want to do first. I mean, it is can be that mundane, but this extrapolates out to the rest of your life. If, let's say, you wanted to be, once again, a fireman, you think, how can you engage being a fireman right now? Right now. How does a fireman walk? How does a fireman talk? How is a fireman right now? A fireman who is gonna be a fireman, let's say a fireman's apprentice. I don't know what you call a fireman before he's a fireman, right? But every fireman in every fire station at some point in their life wanted to be a fireman, right? Before they were actually got their fireman's degree or whatever, the fire thing that you get to become a fireman. I'm sure there's some sort of test, for God's sakes, I hope there is. But before that, they were something. What you want to do is, what was that? And figure out how to become that. How does a person do the pre-fireman dance, as it were? And once you understand that, your brain will start concocting some sort of plan for you. It will arrange your environment so that you can be a fireman, because all you need to do is enact some sort of command to your brain, and it just runs. It's like a supercomputer. You say, I want to be a fireman now, and it goes, okay, this is what you need to do. But if you're thinking about why you should be a fireman, or dreams about being a fireman tomorrow, the fireman thing never happens, because really, all your brain really responds to is right now. And when that happens in this moment, when you engage in this moment, that reality starts to form, or at least the plan for that reality starts to form. So that's why the why and how is so not connected to each other, right? You want to think about the what. What is a fireman? Start engaging that. What is it? Oh, I have to do this. This is what a fireman looks like. This is what a fireman is. And engage in that. And then after the what, how? How can I be that what that I just figured out? Right now, with the skills, the understanding that I have. And then eventually you will understand that there's probably some things missing. Now you know what a fireman is. You know you have, let's say, 2 out of the 10 skills, let's say, that you need to be a fireman. So, okay, well, how can you get those skills? Now you have a plan. This, you can do this with everything. This is why what and how is so important, and the why, not so much. So you get that, Tennyson? Does that kind of put it into perspective a little bit, the what and the how? So there's another part of your question. How does one flow through yet and allow every decision to be independent of those that came before? How does this connect to purpose and forgiveness? Well, that is a pretty intense question right there. So let me kind of take it apart first. I'm going to start with the first part of it first. So here's how it goes. Every decision is independent and dependent on the one before. Why is that? And that is one of the struggles most of us have throughout our life, is because there is a fact of life, is that we remember the past and we don't remember the future. I mean, if we remember the future, life would be a lot easier for us, but then we just kind of sit and stare at a wall and play with our navel. So this lack of future memory allows us to plan and have direction. Okay? So, no matter what you do, you will always remember the past. But the big word that you used here is independent. How can you make your decision of now independent of your past? Well, realistically, that's never going to happen. It's never going to be absolutely independent. But you can be aware of the lack of dependence your moment has on your past through understanding the connection. Of course, you will always be influenced by your past somehow. Because, I mean, you chose to be in this body, you chose to remember the past, so that is going to happen one way or another. But through adequate awareness and the questions of what and how versus why, you can actually devoid yourself of a good portion of that influence. Because the more influence the past has on you, the less choice you're enacting in this moment. And hopefully that you kind of get that. That the more the past weights you down, the less you're actually making a coherent choice in this moment. Because you're not taking into account the variables that are happening right now. Because no matter what you think, those variables are never the same as what you remembered them to be. Do you get that? Those variables are never the same as what you remember them to be. So whatever you think, even though you think, yes, I know all of this, and listen to my show on listening and learning, because you'll understand that I know that concept and how bad that is that once you say I know, and you think, okay, I got this, that's when the mistakes happen. That's when things start falling apart. It's because absolutely, the moment you say that, you're not responding to this moment. And this moment's where everything's happening. It's happening right here, right now. So your last decision, you need to come to the conclusion that your last decision, although similar and relating to what's going on now, is not complete and informing you to its totality in this moment. Do you get that? So, in that awareness, you can find independence from some of your memories, because what you start looking at them, rather than reality, they become almost like an imaginary existence that you had. That helps you relate to this moment, so you know you don't walk into walls, you don't drive into oncoming traffic, because you know you remember how that works. But you use that memory to respond to your moment. Do you get that? You use that memory to respond to your moment so you can adequately feel what's going on. You don't want to let your memory close you down. You want it as an option to open you up so that you don't have to necessarily keep track of everything, but you want to be sensitive to everything. Do you get that? And how do you do that? Once again, you ask the what, then the how. What and then the how. What is this? How can I do this? What is this? How can I do this? Because it pulls your awareness back to the moment rather than what did I do yesterday and I'm just going to do that again, and then you become that robot that's on the tracks and I will do this over and over again. And this is how doing that, that automaton existence, finds you getting straight to the middle as fast as humanly possible and hanging out there for very long. This is where most of the midlife crises happen. Right smack dab in the middle. So, he asked, so that's the concept of keeping yourself independent, right? But he asks another question here. How does one still follow through? Well, the funny thing is that you don't really have to think about following through if you're in the moment, because what happens is when you're in the moment, the flow of doing in the moment gives you momentum and pushes you through. It's actually your memory of the past that prevents your follow through. Why? It's because you remember how things were and you pretend that either they're not going to work or they're going to work the same, so why should you try? Right? Have you ever had that thought? I know what this is. I've done this before. I don't need to do this again. The problem is everything is always different. There's always something new to learn, some new level of existence to absorb. And so what happens is that why question bogs you down. It actually prevents, it slows down your forward motion. It is the understanding and the experience of the moment that moves you through that. So you don't even have to think about the future as long as your moment is taken care of. As long as your moment is taken care of. So that's how the follow-through works. Right? So this doesn't mean you can't imagine about the future. You can't pretend you're in a house and all that kind of stuff. But if you want the house, the wife, the car, the life to come true, you can't start asking yourself, why do you want that? For one reason, that doesn't help. And two, if you want it, all you have to do is ask yourself, what is it? And how can I do it now? How right now? Not tomorrow, how now? So the last part of his very complex question was, how does this connect to purpose or forgiveness? Well, let me start with the last part, forgiveness, okay? Forgiveness, most people think that's an external quality. But that is absolutely not true. Do you get that? Forgiveness is not an external quality. It is an internal quality. Forgiveness is just forgiveness of self. Because the only reason people get on your nerves is because they're doing something you remind yourself of, or they remind you of you doing to yourself that you don't forgive. So if you're mean and you don't like that about yourself and you can't forgive that about how mean you are and you see a mean person, it pisses you off. And then you can't forgive them. If you're a liar and people lie to you and you can't forgive them, guess what? You're a liar and you can't forgive yourself. If you're judgmental and if people are not loyal to you, that means at some point you have not been loyal to yourself or others, and you cannot forgive yourself. Forgiveness intrinsically comes from the inside. Intrinsically comes from the inside. Do you understand that? So, before you even start the forgiveness process with others, you have to forgive yourself. And what does this really mean? This means forgive your past. Forgive it. Let it go. Say, okay, I forgive you. I love you. Yeah, this is when it gets a little hotty-totty and flowery and, you know, break out the patchouli oil and shit. But it's really true. It starts with you forgiving your past. The things that you, the scummiest, the darkest, the most terrible, ugliest parts of yourself, you need to forgive. And at some point, love. Because only until then can you really stop asking why. Why was I bad? Why was I good? Why? No, forgive yourself. Forgive. Yes, at some point you're not going to live up to some of the things you were taught that you should be. Forgive it. Let it go. What that does, it once again pulls you back to the moment. Because once you let that go, once you forgive these things, it allows you to actually enjoy and appreciate this moment. Because it's the lack of forgiveness of self that weights you down in your past and invigorates you to ask that why question. Do you get that? It is the lack of forgiveness of your past that weights you down, that invigorates you to ask that why question. Why? It's because you can't forgive yourself. So you ask yourself why. So once you make it out of the past and into the present, That's when you actually can start managing your future. Purpose. And hopefully that'll answer most, but you know what? We're coming to the end of the show. So I'm going to probably have to pick the purpose thing up next time in the next Ask Sifu segment of Get Better Now Living Mastery. So remember, you can always get in touch with me at masterytrainingsystems.com. Email me there. Or this blog at unreasonablehappinessonline.com. Unreasonablehappinessonline.com. Or asksifumarcus.com. That works too. These are my blogs. Take a look at them. You can get all the shows, the archives of the shows, through either one of those, or even getbetternowlivingmastery.com. Remember, go to the bottom of this blog. If you like this information, if it was useful at all, or any of my other shows, please go to the bottom and hit the donate button. Any amount, a dollar, 20 cents, $5,000, whatever. It helps my scholarship students engage in my programs. Also, it enables me to give you free stuff, to make this show happen, so I can give it to you free anytime, anywhere, set up all the websites. So that's what the donation's for. It goes straight to that stuff. Or if you feel better, just go to the bottom there and go to on Cafe Press, my Awareness Cafe, and or click on one of those pictures at the bottom of this blog and buy a t-shirt or a button. You know, you can get a button for like a dollar or whatever. So please do that. Remember, you can always get in touch with me at masterytrainingsystems.com, at Sifu at masterytrainingsystems.com, okay? Well, this is about the first, and I hope it went well, Denison. I hope I answered your question. Remember, I'm Sifu Marcus Lovemore. It's not about knowing it. It's about living it. Okay?